to one. Paul writes to this church and says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads? Father, we just thank you this morning for the word of God. I would ask you today that you would give me clarity to make a certain sound into the ears of your people. Lord, not only to those that have walked with the Lord for some time, but Lord, the new babes that are just coming in, that they might hear and grasp and understand the dangerous hour that we are in. Father, I ask you that you would use me. Help me to become transparent that you might just speak clearly to your people. And Father, we ask you to bless those that give in the offering today. Lord, here in the worship room across the online experience, bless these lives, bless these saints. Return it upon them, God, and let them know that they are blessed because they have supported your kingdom. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Paul says, there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. This has been a message that's been kind of bubbling in my spirit for any number of weeks now, because we live in a very dangerous time where the gospel of Christ has been almost altogether perverted. It's not what Paul wrote to a great extent. The idea of pervert, the very definition of pervert, is when you take something from its original setting and you twist it. You twist it into something that's unlike what it originally was. If you were to take a picture of my face and put it in Photoshop, and if you were to just make this eye big, way big, you just perverted my face. You have pulled it out of its original setting. And to a very great extent, that's what's been done to the gospel of Christ. Now, no doubt all of you have perhaps heard or been impacted by this perverted gospel. And sometimes we can see it, but we don't understand what we're really looking at. And so I want to try with clarity today to explain it. The two main areas where you hear a perversion of the gospel is when people reply to you, God said, judge not, lest you be not judged. Have you ever heard that? Usually comes from sinners trying to justify themselves. And the other one is a little more subtle. God is love. And of course, Google takes that and says, legalize love, talking about the homosexual community. And it's a subtle shifting of the meaning of what God actually said. God is love. The Bible says God is love, but God is not love to the exclusion of his holiness. He is not compassion or grace to the exclusion of his righteousness. And so when this perverse gospel, when it's preached, what it's really doing is attempting to change the character of God, or at least to change our understanding of the character of God. And all of the things that we struggle with, all of the things that society struggles with, suddenly all of these things are acceptable because what? Well, God is love. And so we have to be very careful that we don't fall under the sway of this false, perverse gospel. And I'll be honest with you, most of what you hear on YouTube is not the gospel of Christ. Most of it is something else. Most of what you hear from nationally known ministers, I'm not saying all, I'm saying most of it is not at all the gospel of Christ. The whole theme of this book is the fall of mankind into sin and God's redemption plan to bring us out. If the minister and the ministry is evading the topic of sin, it's because they're producing and exclaiming a perverse gospel. Now, they'll use many of these scriptures, But the scriptures they use are pulled out of their context to try to erase other scriptures that are there. When God said, and he did, Jesus said that, judge not lest you be not judged. That he did say that. But in another scripture, he said, judge righteous judgments. And in another scripture, he said, don't you know you're going to judge the angels? So he's not saying don't ever judge. He's saying don't walk around like a person holier than thou judging everything. Have the leading of the Lord in your judgments. But if we don't understand what the scriptures mean, we can easily be misled. Now, here in Galatia, Paul established the church in Galatia. He was there for a short time, and he had to go to other fields of endeavor. And as soon as he left, the Judaizers came in, and you know what they did? They perverted the gospel that he gave to them. Galatia was a church in trouble. It's one of the angriest letters the Apostle Paul has written, actually telling them, are you so foolish? Which in our language would mean, are you so stupid? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? But in this passage that we've read, I want to just break out a few things so that we can see it. Paul says, verse 6, Galatians 1, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Now catch that phrase. Removed from him. What they were listening to removed them from Christ. And where did it move them to? It moved them to another gospel. Do you see that? Now, this has been happening since Paul's day, and it's still happening right now. People are being moved from the real gospel of Christ, and they're being moved to another gospel. And because it has a tendency to corrupt the mind, people will fight you thinking that they have the gospel when, in fact, they don't have it at all. If your gospel has no mention of sin, then honey, you ain't got the gospel. If your gospel doesn't have a dead lamb and a puddle of blood, you don't have the gospel. There's no truth in that. So he says this, removed you unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you, which would pervert the gospel of Christ. What it means is it takes what the scriptures have said and it pulls it. It pulls it out of its original setting, and it misleads you and misdirects you in a wrong direction. Satan has always done this. He's done it since Paul's day. He's done it since the garden. And we in this hour, because it's everywhere. Everywhere you go, it's so pervasive that if you don't know what you're hearing, you may begin to nibble on it. You may begin to accept it, and it can lead you in the wrong direction. He says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And 2 Corinthians is another church that was in trouble. Paul is saying this to these churches because they're already in trouble. Corinth was in such a bad shape that they had one man having sex with his father's wife, and they're all saying, praise the Lord. Oh, what liberty we have. That's how perverse the gospel had gotten, and that's how far off track it had led them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, but I fear, lest by any means, just like the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, he's given us a great revelation here. He's saying, just like the serpent beguiled Eve. And in fact, the word beguiled, it means to mislead. Like the serpent misled Eve. Well, let's go back. What happened in the garden? God told Adam and Eve, he said, thou shalt not eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what did Satan do? He came into the garden and he said, hath God said? In other words, he's using the very thing that God said, but he's twisting it out of the way that God said it to mislead Eve. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree? That is what God said. He said, eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means you can't eat of all the trees. You can't eat of this one. but he twisted it to have a different meaning. And the meaning he gave it is God is trying to hold something back from you. He knows that if you eat it, you're going to be like him. He's trying to hold that back when in fact God was trying to protect them from destroying themselves. That's how Satan beguiled. That's how he perverted the words of the Lord in the garden. He's doing the exact same thing right now. This is why it is incumbent upon you. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Be a workman that need not be ashamed. Be able to rightly divide this book. Because if you don't, it said he will by any means, the adversary will by any means, any way necessary. And listen, every one of us in here, you got a weak area in your life. You got an area that you wish God hadn't said that. It would have been cool with you, whatever it was. And that's the very area he'll apply his perverseness to, because you're already leaning in that area, and you'll begin to go off base if you're listening to a perverse gospel. And here's the reality. You don't get 60, 70,000 people coming to your church every Sunday by preaching to them, stop sin. See, there's a lot of good churches left, but they little bitty churches like this that still has a pastor that's not afraid to preach this word. But many of the pastors now will not open this book up. How far do you have to go to find another church that will have a Bible class that's line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, word by word, through the entirety of the book? How far do you have to search to find that? See, many churches now will just give you topics. Here's the topic of what we're going to preach, and most of it is not the scripture. But when you walk tight with the scripture, you can't hardly make mistakes, because the scripture will rebuke you. So he says then, I fear lest by any means as the serpent misled or beguiled Eve through his subtlety. The word subtlety, it means a skillful deception. A skillful deception. Get this. Satan is so skillful at deception. He was able to pull one third of the angelic host into his own damnation. Now you think about that. That means he's not a novice at deceiving. And so again, it's important that you and I get into this word and get to understand it, so that when somebody tells you, well, God is love, the perverse generation that preaches the perverse gospel, well, God is love. Well, yes, he is love, but he said what you're doing is an abomination. He said that too. You can't throw that out. It's quiet. And so you have to be very knowledgeable of who God is. That's really what it comes down to. People will say that, well, God is love, and so legalize love. Do whatever you want. And listen, I'm not just preaching against the homosexual community. I'm saying this perverseness. Here's another great perverseness. There's a champion in you. There's a champion in you. Oh, you got a miracle in you. No, you don't. We're full of corruption. There's no miracle in us. If God the Holy Ghost don't help us, we go back as we were teaching, like a dog to the vomit, like a sow to a waddling in the mire. It's just the power of the Holy Ghost is holding us. And so we have to keep it straight, because it implies the character of God. Here's something about God. No sin is just swept under the carpet. It's not a big deal. He don't sweep nothing under the carpet. Either he deals with it at the cross, or he deals with it at the great white throne judgment. And so we have to understand that when we hear these things now, which again, it's prevalent in Christian circles, we have to understand God did not change from the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not change from the days of Noah's flood. Yes, God is love, but he's got some other things in him other than love. The Bible said the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They don't tell you that part. So you have to get into the Bible yourself to realize, oh, I'm not being told the whole story. there's something else here going on that I'm not seeing. You have to do that. So through his subtlety, as he beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted. Now listen, your mind is the way you think. All of us think. But he's saying that the way you think could be corrupted. In other words, if you accept this gospel that God is all love and there's nothing else, it's just love and grace, that's all that he is, it changes the way you think and you take liberties you really should not take because your mind, your thoughts have been corrupted. The word corrupted means to be morally perverted. That's what corrupted means. So your mind should be morally perverted by listening to a perverted gospel. Am I making sense this morning? It's very important because it's so pervasive now in almost everything. You hear Christians saying this all the time, and they call themselves Christians, many of them, but there's even some Christians that have been swayed by this perverse gospel, and they understand the gospel with a perverted accent to it. It's like if you look at my face and you always see it and one eye's this big and the other eye's little, their mind has been corrupted, so that's the only way they can see the face. And we have to be very, very careful. God is a God of love. But as I said earlier, his attribute of love does not erase his attribute of holiness. As a matter of fact, nowhere in the scripture do you read, I am a loving God. You read, I am a holy God. And so it's an essential part of who he is. And he didn't say, be ye loving as I am loving. He said, be ye holy because I am holy. And so we see this, Satan do this in the Galatian church. We see him do it in the Corinthian church. And then we see Peter in his letters, his epistles that he wrote, he's warning against the same thing, that our minds can be corrupted because we're listening to something that's skewed, that's off base. And I realize the gospel don't always make you shout. Sometimes the gospel can make you cry. Because it's the perfect law of liberty. It's the mirror that you look in and you see all your warts and blemishes. You see everything in you that's not right. The only place you can see it is when you look into the perfect law of liberty. And you say, oh, woe am I. I am undone. So if we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll take a look at what he is saying. And Peter, I love Peter because he made so many mistakes in his sanctification as he walked with Jesus Christ and even afterwards. I just identify with him because I've had as many or maybe more missteps than he's had. But he says in verse 8, he says, you need to be sober. That means don't be under the intoxicating influence of this current age. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, as I said earlier, Satan has deceived 1/3 of the angelic host who have known God for eons past, but his deception was so strong they threw their lot in with Satan against God. So you have to understand the level of deception. The perverse gospel is not saying God is not God. The perverse gospel is not saying that Jesus is not Lord. The perverse gospel is just making one eye bigger than the other one, making one attribute of God out of balance with the rest of the attributes of God and corrupting the minds of people because they now see God other than what he is. It's a danger for all of us. And the only remedy that you and I have, study. to show yourself approved. And I would say, if you're new with this, get in the New Testament. The Old Testament is wonderful. I've got nothing against it. You get into the New Testament and you read it right before you read it again. And then after you read it again, read it again. And then go to our sermon archives. Every one of them, not all of them, but I think probably 90% of the books of the New Testament, we go line upon line from verse 1 all the way to the end. And we explain every phrase of every verse so that you can have an understanding. That way, when you hear when somebody comes to you with this perverseness, it doesn't set right with you because you've already got the truth in you. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. The faith. If you follow our teaching, you know that that phrase, the faith, is not simply talking about faith. The is a definite article. It means there is a specific faith. There's a specific faith. It's faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul said this somewhere. Oh, here, I'm going back to 2 Corinthians. I didn't cover this last phrase. He says, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The gospel is simple. Here's the gospel. I'm a sinner. Jesus is a savior. He died for me. That's the gospel. That's it. If it uses 1,000 words to lead you down another road, you're off base. Here it is. I'm a sinner. Jesus is a savior. He died for me. That's the gospel. Now, you can elaborate on that. On the price he paid was a bloody sacrificial death on a wooden gibbet on a hill called Calvary. But it all comes down to this. I'm a sinner. He's my savior. And he died for me. That's what changes lives. That's what holds people by the power of his resurrection, realizing I'm lost without him, but he's a graceful savior. And no matter what I do, no matter what failure I have, he holds me by the power of his resurrection. Don't go off down another road with a perverse gospel. You know, the gospel was so perverse when Jesus came into his public ministry, the Jews had so perverted the Passover. In the Old Testament, when God gave the Passover, it was called the Lord's Passover. But when Jesus came, you read your New Testament, the Holy Spirit doesn't refer to it as the Lord's Passover. He refers to it as the Jews' Passover. He doesn't even claim it anymore. They had so perverted the message of salvation that they taught each other that just because you're a child of Abraham, you're automatically saved. That was a perversion of the gospel. And Jesus stood and looked him right in the eyes. And he told him, search the scripture. That's all they did was read the Bible. But he said, search the scripture. In them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me. But you would not come to me that you might have life. And so you and I should do the same thing. Search the scripture. If that scripture is not talking about Jesus Christ, you can be sure you're reading it wrong. It's not being read correctly. You can go all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to the fall. If you read that and you don't see Jesus into it, that first animal that was sacrificed to make coats for Adam and Eve, that was a prefigurement of Jesus Christ and the covering that he would provide for the whole world. You go back to the first Passover, that Passover lamb, it was a symbol of what Jesus would do on Calvary to cause the wrath of Almighty God to pass over all those who would accept Jesus Christ. Anything else is a perverse gospel. I'm trying hard not to call preachers names. You call them out in your mind for me. Paul says this. Paul dealt with this throughout his entire ministry. He'd established a church, and immediately the Judaizers would come in to pervert what he had taught. It's one of the reasons for the book of Hebrews, who I believe Paul is the author of. He had to establish for the Jewish people that Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than all. He is preeminent above all, to get them out of their old way of thinking. But he said in Acts, this is Paul, he says, I do know this. He said, after my departing, meaning after he dies, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, meaning from within the confines of the church, from within the congregation, shall men arise speaking perverse things. Meaning it's a gospel that's out of balance. A gospel that has been twisted to be other than what it should be. Speaking perverse things to, meaning this is what they really have in their heart, to draw away disciples after themselves. Now you think about some of our mega ministries. Is the key person there glorifying Christ, or is he enjoying being glorified? Man, that's good right there. And let me just say this, because I never want that spirit to come here. I am nothing. I don't ever want to be anything. I am a bond slave. That is my call. That's all I ever wanted to be. That's my glory. I'm a slave for Jesus Christ. It should be your glory as well. If you have something in you that you want, oh, Pastor, if I was just in front of those lights, I would play it different. I can guarantee you God will never put you in front of the lights, because he dwells with those of a humble and a contrite spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost. Perverse things. To draw away disciples until themselves. And lastly, I'll just read this quickly. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. It means they have all the outward trappings of godliness and a religious fervor. But Jesus says, but inwardly, they're ravening wolves. It means that they're dangerous. It means that you need to go to your YouTube playlist and you need to unfollow some folks. If you've never heard them preach anything about Jesus Christ, about sin, about the blood, you need to unfollow those folks, because the hour is at hand. The hour is at hand. Praise God. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Because listen, when Jesus shows, you and I are supposed to see him as he is. As he is. Not some other gospel. I'll tell you, Jesus is not a shepherd. Never was, not once. If in your mind you see Jesus, he's holding a little lambkin in his hand and he got a staff, that's a perversion of the gospel. He was never a shepherd. I can see people looking at me like, really? Yeah, yeah, really. He was never a shepherd. He's our Savior. And our job is, as we study this word, as we move through our sanctification process, our job is come to see him as he really is. As he really is. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, I thank you for the liberty that you've given me this morning. I thank you, Lord. I feel that you've helped me to make a clear and a certain sound. God, let this just impact the hearts of your people. Those here in the worship room, Lord, let it dig down deep into the heart. Let it be a fortress against the perverse gospel that's now. The people watching across the online experience, those who will come to the sermon archives or our YouTube channel that hear this, oh God, let it be illuminating. Let it help them to connect the dots that they can see who is of God and who is not of God. Father, I come to you this morning. Touch this congregation. Help this entire congregation, Lord, to solidify in their hearts, to be on their toes concerning the perverse gospel that's so pervasive Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet with me this morning, all over the room, if you're able, if you're able. Just reach out and ask the Lord God, help me illuminate, open the eyes of my understanding that I might see and behold that which is of God and that which is of not. Help me, O God, that I'm not tricked, that I'm not deceived, that I'm not misdirected in a different way, but help me to always realign myself with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, all over the room, just reach out to the Lord. It's your soul. It's your life. You should be concerned enough about it to say, God, help me this morning. Help me this morning.
Oh God, help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to see with spiritual eyes every lie, every form of deception, every stumbling block, everything that Satan is trying to use to steal, kill, and destroy our souls. Father, call us to a deeper relationship with you, Father. Call us to your word, Lord. Not just to read it, Father, but to study it so we can rightly divide the words of truth, so we can see the lies and see the deception of the enemy. He wants to destroy us, God. But you came, Father, that we might have life and that we might have that life more abundantly, Lord. So help us, God, to recognize the perversion of the enemy, Lord, so that we can walk in truth, Lord, so we can walk in you, so we can walk in your will for our life, God, each and every day. We thank you in advance for it, Lord, and we praise you for it right now. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we come to a church where our leadership, the people who bring forth the word, they're trying to get us ready for what's coming. Have you noticed that? The theme of the messages that are coming forth, because we are in the last days and it's time, church. It's time for us to get ready for what's coming. It's a warning to us. Get in your word, get into prayer. Don't allow these things that are going on around us to distract us. It's time for us to get our focus on the Lord. Hallelujah. And when we're where we need to be, we can draw others in too. I don't want to be in heaven by myself. I want all my family, all my friends, people that I know to be with me. And that should be your heart too. Amen. Amen. Just a few announcements before we go. If you haven't had an opportunity to give, we do need your support. Support for our church, our ministry here, and also the ministries abroad that we support. So please give if you have not. And be aware that the donation pages online have changed. So don't be alarmed if you see that. It is still Christ Unveiled. And lastly, there is a new commentary that's available, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. If you are interested in purchasing that, you can look on the slat board outside in the lobby. Thank you so much for coming this morning. May the Lord be with you all. Have a blessed week, and you are dismissed.